This morning, just to kind of get you a little bit of a refresher from last week. You know, we are in the sixth month of 2018. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just we are almost halfway through the year. At the end of this month, we'll be fully halfway through. And it's just amazing how time is flying. Time is flying so fast. And so, you know, we have a theme for this year. It's elevate, being intentional in life. You know, that God desires you and your family to live an elevated lifestyle. Not that you're better than anybody else, but know that you are walking in the fullness of God so you can make a difference in other people's lives. So your family can make a difference in other people's lives. Not that you're just surviving, but your family is truly thriving. Okay, that's the kind of elevated lifestyle that God desires for his children to have. And so, you know, this theme is not necessarily a destination, but it's a journey. It's a consistent journey that we're on, that we're, you know, the Bible says we go from glory to glory. And so, I want you to encourage you this morning as we read our text and we talk about pressure, as we talked about last week, elevate under pressure. God desires for us to elevate under pressure, no matter what's going on in our lives, that we're still to live an elevated lifestyle. And so let's go to our text in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 46. This right here is our text where we started from last week. And some of you will know this. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we'll start in verse 36. Then Jesus went to his disciples. With his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, that is, James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Verse 40, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for just 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away for a second time and prayed, "Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Then he came back. He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, praying the same thing. And he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he talks about this cup three different times. Three praised about this cup. And we talked about last week how kings in the cup, you know, they used to have cupbearers. That they used to, the king used to, if you wanted to kill a king, you would poison their drink. And so they had cupbearers where they had the cupbearer test the drink before the king partook of it. And if that cupbearer passed, died, poisoned, the king wouldn't. So there was a safety net. So we talked about last week a king that would knowingly take that cup and drink it, knowing that this isn't good, knowing for him. And so we talked about having confidence under pressure last week. And that's where we're going to pick it up. And I want to encourage you in this, that last week, we've said this in many different ways over the last 6 months, that the enemy cannot touch your calling. He cannot touch your calling, but he can get your confidence. If he gets your confidence, then he will stop your calling. The tool of the enemy that he will use to get your confidence is pressure. It's pressure. The one thing about, it's one thing to have confidence, but it's another thing to have confidence under pressure. You think about that for a second. You really don't know what you're made of until you see confidence, until you know how you flow with confidence under pressure. Each and every one of us could walk over to the little pirate putt-putt golf over the bridge, Port Orange Bridge right there, and you know, in the putt-putt, you know, just sink a little 15-foot, you know, putt. We can all do that, right? Like, we have a good day. But you know what? Sink a 15-foot putt during the Masters, when the jacket is on the line. That's confidence under pressure. We can be excited. You can be excited about your spouse when they get everything right and do everything you ask. But can you get excited about your spouse when they do everything wrong and they forget about everything you asked? And all you want to do is karate chop them right in the throat. I've got a couple bruises in my throat. No, I'm just teasing. I know you can praise God when there's extra money in the bank and, you know, there's lots of money and you almost feel like Scrooge McDuck and DuckTales are swimming in the coin, right? We can praise God easily then, but can you praise God when you're so broke that you put your hand in your, when you put your hand in your leg, all you feel, you put your hand in your pocket and all you feel is your leg. Can you still praise God then and know that your faith is fine when you pray your breakthrough and that breakthrough happens? You pray for a breakthrough and that happens quickly. But what do you do when your faith is walking out that breakthrough? And it doesn't seem to be coming anytime soon. Kind of like the way the Israelites with the wall of Jericho when these walls of Jericho were so massive. They were so thick that they used to have chariot races on top. That's how massive these walls were. And God promised, he promised Israelites that he would give them Jericho. And he told them, don't go in battle, don't fight, don't touch, just walk around the city one time for 7 days. And on the seventh day, walk around seven times and give me a great big giant shout. And you're like, what? Can you imagine? And you got, these are massive walls. It wasn't like this little, like, okay, walking around here once. You got to think about the size of the city. And what they felt like walking as people were looking down, mocking them, ridiculing them, laughing at them, and they saw the walls come down with a shout. Right? Your praise is not predicated on the pressure that is put on you. But in fact, the pressure is producing something inside of you that is making you better and making you stronger for God. Confidence under pressure. Have you felt like the pressure was too much ever? Have you ever felt like the pressure was just overwhelming? You know? Don't push me because I'm close to the edge. Now it's popping. People are like, oh yeah. Grandmaster Flash. Have you ever felt like it was too much to bear? The Apostle Paul gives us a very candid moment in Corinthians that I want to share with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed. Don't misinterpret this, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we've been experiencing in the province of Asia. We're under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. So that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. That is Paul. Paul, the dude that wrote 2/3 of our New Testament, feeling that the pressure was overwhelming. So this morning, I'm going to give you four. Look at your neighbor and say four. Come on, you do better than that. Four. Four things you must have if you're going to have confidence under pressure. Four things. All right? To have confidence under pressure. I told you this week was going to be kind of, last week was amazing. That, you know, there was a time, you know, at the end of service where people came down to the altar, you know, where you just, you know, I said, hey, listen, maybe you're overwhelmed right now. You know what? We're going to have prayer workers down here. And people came down, just, you know, being overwhelmed, that pressure to God. And people walked out free. People walked out with tears in their eyes. You know, God moved. And I said, you know, this week we're going to get buried some natural applications. That things that you can make applicable to you right now. So these are four things that you must have when you're going to have confidence under pressure. Number one, you have to have a preview. A preview. And I said, what do you mean by preview? Well, you know, as you guys know, I love watching. Pastor Kathy and I are avid movie watchers. I mean, 11 years off and on, we dated. And the majority of those dates were going to see a movie and dinner and a movie all the time, you know? So we were always seeing movies. And so we would love to be sitting there. I don't know, maybe it's just like there's no phone. We don't take our phones out and everything. We're so focused. It's just relaxing. So, you know, love to chill at movies. And so this past weekend when Pastor Kathy was away with the ladies, West Palm Beach, for the women's event conference down West Palm Beach, Nick, Nate, and Jules, we all went out and saw a movie on Friday night, right? So we're there, you know, and I got to be there because I got to see the previews. Anybody else like that? Well, you got to see the previews. Hands are going up. You know what? I just got to see the previews, man, because, you know, and we get everyone settled. Everyone's sitting down. We're at Cobb. Everyone's sitting down. You know, it's Nate, and then there's Jules, and there's me, and then there's Nick, and everyone's sitting down. And I'm, okay, previews are starting. Everyone got their popcorn. They've got the little bags, and everyone's divvying it out. Everyone's cheering. Everyone else, everyone's got their popcorn and everything else. Everyone's got their candy. All right, previews are starting. Shh. Right? And I'm watching, and all of a sudden, Jules is like, Daddy, my recliner doesn't work. My seat's broke. Shh, don't, you know, I'll deal with it in a second. I'm watching the previews, you know? And she's like, Daddy, and then Nate gets involved. Dad, first thing, like, I said, I'll deal with it in a second. I'm watching the previews. Anybody like that? You're like, you got to see the previews, right? The only thing, you know, previews are important. The only thing that's better than going to a movie is going to see what movie you're going to go see when you're sitting there at the movie. That's, you know, previews are important. Say, why previews are important? What's your point? Well, I'll tell you my point. Preview is the only thing that I have, or we have, that to hold on to until the premiere. Think about it for a second. Preview is the only thing that we have to hold on to until the actual release date. I'm here to tell you that God will give you a prophetic preview of your purpose. Remember, you were created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. Between the preview and between the premiere of what God is going to do in your life, there will be pressure. You've got to hold on to the preview that God has given you. You've got to hold on. Abraham was given a preview by God. God said, look up to the heavens and look at all the stars. Your descendants will be more than this. When he promised him that he will have a child. And you know what? And then, you know what? There was pressure during that time before that. And then there he was, right? There he was, you know. The time was, there he was. He was a senior citizen and he was going out to get Rogaine and he was going out to get diapers, right? And you know, but he held on to his preview, right? David was given his preview by the prophet Samuel. Right? He was there. He was anointed king as a shepherd boy. Think about what took place between that moment and when he was king. He faced Goliath. Come on. That's pressure. Huge pressure. And then there was a time where he was just simply on the run from King Saul. Because King Saul knew that he was going to take his place and he wanted to kill him. And there he was for years on the run. That's pressure. He held on to his preview while he was under pressure. Joseph was given his preview in a dream. He had to hold on to that while his brothers, that he was going to rule one day and his brothers were going to bow before him. And his brothers said, nuh-uh, not in the way, son. So they conspired to kill him. And then instead of killing him, they said, we're going to make a little coin, right? So then they sold him into slavery. And then, you know, he had a whole other preview during this time. That's pressure. Not only that, then him being wrongfully accused of rape. That's pressure. Being thrown in jail, that's pressure. He had to hold on to his preview until the premiere took place, until it happened. There are just a few examples that of just through the word of God of people holding on to their preview, you know, the pressure mounting up to them. Well, I'll give you a modern day example. I'll rewind the clock, 1993, and one night, Pastor Kathy and I, we had been dating off and on, I don't know, 5-6 years into our 11-year journey before we got married. She came back from Bible college. She came down, someone following her, a man, a guy, was wanted to court her, you know. So there's this guy that's here. And so I'm like, whoa, what's up with this going on right now? So there was just a conflict going on in her heart. You know, there's a conflict going on. Because I wasn't going down without a fight. But at the same time, there came a point, and this is where I'm getting at. One night I said, you know what, God, with a pure heart, I said, God, is this woman for me? Is this the woman that you want me to be with? Because if you tell me no, I will walk away from this, from pursuing this relationship. And after hours of being on my knees, I was ready for it too. Hours on my knees, I just knew in my heart, yes. God gave me a preview. So I woke up like, woo, Jesus. And I was walking, yeah, right, that's what I'm talking about. And then the next morning, I get a phone call from her parents. Hey, you want to come in? We want to talk to you. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's already working out. Woo, look at that. I go and I sit there and I go into the house. I sit in the front family room and Kathy's not there. She's in her room and she's crying. I can hear her. And then she's in there and I'm sitting there and then they begin to talk to me that, you know, she's confused. She doesn't know. You're pulling on her. And what we would like you to do is back off. And one of them even looked at me and said, I just want you to know you will never marry my daughter. So might as well just give up. This is true. I was like, yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, yeah, yeah. Sorry, mama. So it's Pastor Patty. Love you. So anyways. And I remember leaving that room, or the front room, the family room on that couch. I remember walking out. And, you know, that gulp was in my throat. Tears are filling up my eyes. I got in my car. I looked in the rearview mirror. Tears are flowing out. And, you know, honestly, I was just like, you know, I was floored. Sitting there. But we all know the end. I had to hold on to that preview. The preview that God showed me in my heart. And then 5 years later was my premiere. But here's the great thing about when you're walking with God. You'll have a preview, you'll have a premiere, but there may be lots of sequels that He'll give you. And I just to tell you this, that even this past Thursday night, we are sitting, Pastor Kathy and I, having a board meeting in the very same house, 10 feet away from the very couch that I sat on when they said, you would never marry her. Married and having a board meeting and being lead pastors. I'm telling you, hold on to your preview. The preview of what God has for your life under pressure. Because the enemy wants you to crumble. And you're going to have to know this. Know this, but God will give you a preview, but remember, the devil will try and give you a bootleg version. A bootleg version of your purpose. Anyone ever watch a bootleg before? Oh, it's bad. Bootlegs are bad. I would rather, if someone said to me, would you rather watch Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War, bootleg a week before it came out, or would you rather watch it on the screen? I would be on the screen. because I want to experience it. I want the real thing. See, the devil would try to bootleg, give you a bootleg version of your purpose. He tried to do that with Jesus when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. You know, throw yourself down off of here and the angels will be charged over you. And then, you know, he tried to give a bootleg. The devil will try to bootleg, give you a bootleg version of your purpose. The second thing you have to have, confidence under pressure. You need a place. Like a place? What you mean? What you mean a place? Like my own crib? Like my own apartment? Like my own house? No, I'm not talking about that. Oh, you mean like I go to church? Like a house? No, I'm not talking about that. You need a place. To have confidence under pressure, you need a place. A place to connect with God and that God can connect with you. And it's not church I'm talking about. Do you have such a place in your house, in your heart? Do you have such a place that it's often that in the place is where God gives you the preview. Some of you say, well, I don't have a preview of my life. You got a preview? You're getting previews of your life? I'm not getting any previews. I would venture to say, do you have a place? And not just here and there, a place. Do you have a place where God shows up and he knows that he can meet you there? It's very interesting if you read the account of Mark and Matthew's account of the Garden of Gethsemane, right? You will assume that Jesus, in this time of pressure, just stumbled on the Garden of Gethsemane and the Mount of Olives and had this time with God when he was greatly under pressure. And it was his first time praying, but that's not the first time praying there, right? We're talking about a place. That wasn't the case, because look at Luke chapter 22, verses 39 and 40. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Verse 40, on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Verse 39 says, Jesus went out as usual. In other words, this wasn't his first time to pray at this garden. He'd been there before. In other words, he's not waiting until the pressure of life mounts up, church, before he finds a place to connect with his Father. It was part of Jesus' regular routine to have a place where he connected with God. And it's our. That's a principle that we need to understand. We need to see and we need to apply. We need to have a regular routine of getting in a place with when we connect with God. If you're waiting until pressure comes to go to that place, the way a lot of us do, you'll never have confidence under pressure. But if you have a regular place with God, it's where he fills you up, church. You'll be shocked in what you can face in life when you have a regular place where you connect with God. You will be shocked. Can I be real with you today? Is that all right? Can you deal with being a little bit real this morning? Some people will never have confidence under pressure because they only have a 911 relationship with God. The only time they get in his presence, the only time they get into a place is in an emergency. And you know what? The good thing about God is so gracious. God is so awesome. God is so loving. He will be there. And his grace will be sufficient. But there's a difference between being a 911, having a 911 relationship with God and having a relationship with God being a Psalms 911 believer. Psalms 91:1 says the individual who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We need not to be 911 emergency Christians, but we need to be Psalms 911 believers. God says, when you find a regular place, I will always have you covered. I will always, always, always have you protected. I will always have your back. Have a place. And number three, you're going into, I want you to turn to Matthew before we get there. I want to set this up, set the third one up. Matthew 26, verse 36 and 37. I'm going to reread this again. Then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. See, understand this passage of Scripture. Jesus arrived with the disciples, and he said, all of you, everybody, sit here, chill, pray. Thomas was like, hey, Jesus, want me to come with you? No. Everyone stay and pray. Peter, James, John, come with me. Jesus is teaching us a profound principle right here through example. That when you are under pressure, and the pressure is getting greater and greater and greater, your circle has to become smaller, smaller, and smaller. Not everyone can roll with you. Here's why. You want to know why that's important? Here's why. Because each and every one of us, when we're under great pressure, we're vulnerable. You are vulnerable. I am vulnerable. We're not ourselves when we're under pressure. Think about it. We're not. Not everyone is supposed to see that. Because honestly, it don't matter how old some people are, they're not mature enough to handle it. We're vulnerable under pressure. There's some people that can't handle seeing us under pressure. You say, well, where you get this? Where you get the stance from? Where's your scripture? I'll give you some scripture. Think about this. Just to think of, contemplate this in your head. This is like mind blown. Or Juliana says mind explosion. Think about this in Matthew. I'm alluding to Matthew 8:23-27. You can write that down. That Jesus, think about this, picture this, imagine this. How in the world is this the same Jesus who at one point in his life was in a major storm on a boat and he was sleeping on the boat and his disciples were freaking out? Hashtag Jesus took naps, okay? Dads, write it down. Hashtag Jesus took naps. I'm starting a movement, okay? Jesus took naps. It's okay to take a nap, Dad. All right, men? It's okay to take a nap. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's your chance to go, guys. But anyways. But listen, he was sleeping and the disciples were freaking out. They were waking him up. Remember this. They were waking him up saying, Jesus, don't you care if we perish and die? Remember this? Right? Now the same Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he walks over to Peter, James, and John. He says, he's waking them up, saying, don't you care that I'm about to die? How in the world can these two examples be about the same man, Jesus? Because when you're under pressure, you are vulnerable. And it's important who you have on the inside. We see the Savior of the world asking his disciples for comfort. The Comforter asking to be comforted. Because he is under great pressure. And you have to be careful with who you surround yourself with during this time. Seriously. You need words of life spoken during this time, not death. Encouragement, not negativity. You need to be careful you don't surround yourself with people or with somebody that will hustle your moment of pressure and use it for their selfish gain. Samson and Delilah. Hello, somebody. Samson was under great pressure and surrounded himself with Delilah. And she hustled his moment of pressure for her own selfish gain. You know, there's a saying in culture, never let them see you sweat. Never let them see you sweat. It's cultural. It's not biblical. Because Jesus himself totally debunks that myth. Never let them see you sweat in our main text. He sweated, and not just sweated, but he sweated blood. Jesus is saying, you can let them see you sweat. Just be careful who the them is. Final point. The worship team can make their way up. Final point. You have to have confidence under pressure. To have confidence under pressure, you need the power. The power. I believe that when we have God's preview of our purpose, constantly in the place, connecting with God, surrounding ourselves with the right people, it enables us to access the power. When you are under pressure, only you can drink the cup that is before you. Nobody else can drink it for you. Not even God. The power. It's a free will that Jesus died for. Luke 24, verse 49 says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, to stay here in this city until this Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. I remember when Pastor Kathy and I found out we were pregnant with our first child, Nicholas. I remember we found out we were pregnant, and then we went to the doctor and had a sonogram. We found out we're having a boy. Right? Yeah, we're having a boy. Woo! We went to Lamaze classes. Right? We went to Lamaze classes. We packed the get ready bag for when it was time to go. You know, we went and drove to Halifax Hospital to be induced. Right? We were in the delivery room. We did the breathing. I mean, it was like we. I was French or something, you know? Wee. We did the grunting and the pushing. Oh, you can do it. You can do it. Push. We gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. And we had the most incredible moment as husband and wife holding our newborn. And what I thought was the most incredible moment turned in to the worst moment in a snap. When the doctor walked over and said, Mr. Mazza, there's some complications. We need to bring your son to the neonatal because of something we observed, and your wife is having some challenges, and you need to exit the room. And I'm like, but we. And I remember walking out, backing up of in the hospital room, and one eye seeing, and the other eye seeing Nicholas being rushed down to the neonatal, where he would spend the next 3 days. And in the other eye, I'm seeing the door close as doctors work and do their best to try to get Pastor Kathy from hemorrhaging. And in that moment, I remember backing up and hitting the wall and sliding down. Tears going down my face. Thinking, how in the world? I remember this vividly, saying, how can the best moment turn into the worst moment? The happiest moment of my life turn into the worst moment just like that. I felt so helpless. I felt so powerless. But because I had my preview and had been continually in the place and had the right people around me during that moment praying, for Kathy, praying for Nicholas. Something rose up on the inside of me in that moment of tremendous pressure. Began to pray, but not pray out of fear, but I began to pray in a place of authority. And in that authority, the Spirit of God strengthened my heart. Within the hour, the breathing challenge that they thought they saw Nicholas have, they never saw it again. Within the hour, they stopped Pastor Kathy from hemorrhaging. Everything was fine. I want to show you something real quick before we dismiss about the Garden of Gethsemane that I never saw before. And it's only in Luke's account. Only in Luke's account. You won't find this in the other accounts in the Bible of Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's only in Luke's account. Luke 22, verses 42 through 44. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And verse 43 says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Verse 44, in being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling on the ground. I got to be honest with you. I'm a Bible college graduate. I don't ever remember, for whatever reason, seeing. I don't remember ever seeing or ever remember anyone ever preaching on verse 43 that an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. I saw the Passion of the Christ. I'm upset with Mel. You know, Mel Gibson. I mean, there he was. You know, I saw the snake. I saw him stomp on the head of the snake. I saw that little bald-headed character with the no eyebrows. But I didn't see no angel in the garden. I thought, why in the world do so many people, and I would venture to say that a lot of people in the room here this morning are seeing that for the first time as well. I said, how can we miss that? And I believe that it goes down to this. I believe it's missed so much. No one gets overlooked in reading because we tend to look at the drops of blood versus the strength. Or let me say it like this. We tend to look at the circumstances than the strength of God. In Luke 24:49, you know, you got to understand, prior to Jesus being here on this earth, the Holy Spirit was not here. So therefore, I believe that moment when I stood there, I believe that the Holy Spirit strengthened me in that moment. He'll do the same for you, church. You have power, the authority. Don't. We've got to stop looking at the circumstance. We have to focus on the strength this morning. Allow the Spirit of God to strengthen you in this place today.